We thank our Lord for this country that the Lord has given to us and provided for us to live in these days. My message this morning is more of a topical message as we would look at the concept of giving one's life for another. Certainly that is a tremendous sacrifice as we recognize the preciousness of life. This Memorial Day weekend, we will be remembering those whose lives have been put on the line so that we can enjoy and that so that we have been able to enjoy the freedoms of our country. I'd like to look at the perspective from God's Word of life. And certainly, even as the passage we have read this morning, we recognize that the Lord has done, but we must recognize that our life, the source of our life, has come from God. That's a very basic underlining concept of which you are all very much aware. But yet, in our country in which we live, it is becoming to be cast aside, even as there are in the educational systems of our country, the theory of evolution has been so pronounced and so ingrained in them. And yet it's interesting that even in the midst of that, there is a higher percentage of our people still recognize and believe that it was not by evolution, but that it was by the act of God and creation. But we recognize that life is of God alone, from Genesis, of course, we've learned that God created man out of the dust of the earth, and man became a living soul. We recognize that when Adam and Eve had their first children, and I think of when Eve had said that she has gotten a man from the Lord, and she recognized it was of the Lord. We recognize that on a daily basis, we live and move and have our being. We have our very life, and our life is sustained by God. We recognize that even as death comes, that it is that which has come, that we will stand before God, accountable for this life. Thus, our life came from God. It is sustained by God. And when it ends, we will stand before God to give an account of this life. But life can be sacrificed for another. In John 15, verse 13, he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." We see illustrations of that, where those that would lay down their life for others. I was reading of a lady in Florida that as a tornado was coming and about to destroy their home, she died sheltering her 3-year-old child. That was certainly where that parent was willing to lay down her life for her child. Was reading where sometimes with brothers and sisters, there are those that will lay down their life. There was in 2011, I was reading a story about a man, a boy by the name of Jordan Rice over in Australia, a 13-year-old boy when they were in the midst of flood waters that were about to take their car, and they were as one came and brought a rope and went to take the boy. He said, "No, take my brother first." They weren't able to get back to get the boy, but he said, "No, take my brother first." And so his brother survived. He put his own life on the line, and his life was taken as he laid down his life for his brother. What a blessing it is, and we recognize that when there is that kind of love that is there for another. Within the spiritual family, We saw that as Paul spoke of, I think when Paul spoke of, we don't know what the particular circumstance was, but in Romans chapter 16, verse 13, when he said, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ," and then he said in the fourth verse, "who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of Christ." He said, there was a couple, Aquila and Priscilla. Evidently, there was a time that they were willing to put their very lives on the line for the Apostle Paul. And so we recognize there are those. Of course, when we have those that by occupation, our police and our firemen, they have a job that calls on them to continually put themselves in the way of danger on behalf of others. And so we certainly see that. We see those that have lost their lives in doing that. It's a kind of a love for their fellow man that they're willing to do that. Then we, as we're looking at Memorial Day, and we think of the soldiers, the men and women of our armed forces that for their countrymen. Are putting themselves in danger's way. We recognize that there are some that do it for adventure. They don't plan to die. They don't think they're going to die. Somebody else will. But it's kind of like you see some of the thing they call today extreme sports. I think how foolish for one to do that. You know, there's nothing of love for somebody else in that. It's just they're willing to. They just think they're invincible and they're gonna make it. But there are those that do it for an occupation. I remember when the National Guardsmen were called up for going to Iraq. I remember one up in Mansfield that was in the National Guard got called up and he said, "Hey, I wasn't expecting to go to war. You know, this was a good occasion to get my education paid for. It was a good some side money to get, and I could do that here at home. But I wasn't planning on going to war." Yeah, there are those that. But then there are those that it was for their fellow man. To preserve the lives of others that have served for us, to give freedom to their families. You know, after 9/11 and the attacks there on the World Trade Center, there were many that signed up. There were many that says, "I will put my life on the line. I'll go and fight against the terrorists." Who would destroy our free land. It was a recognition that they were going in danger's way, but they wanted to care for their families, that this would not happen again here in our land. Did you notice as you passed the cemetery this morning up here, the little flags throughout the cemetery? Around our country, there are those that are taking time to go and at each grave of a veteran, they are putting those flags. I talked to Mr. Gleason here some time back, that lives there at the end of the lane from the camp, and I believe that every Memorial Day he takes those. Hundreds and hundreds of flags and takes them around to put them there in honor of those that gave their lives. It's interesting to go up by and to read the tombstones where those flags are. And just by the age of their life, you recognize that many of them were just young men. Many of them just out of high school, and some and so we know that those were ones that gave their lives as they went to serve for us. We sought to consider the sacrifice that they've made for us. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing for us to consider those lives that have been given for us. Think of the pain and the suffering that they have gone through. When we read of the present day veterans returning from the horrors of war and their mental anguish, it reminds us that it's not just a game. This present fiasco that we've had with our veterans hospital, of course it goes from mismanagement and a number of things, but one of the things is there's just so many more that are there. And when you hear of the mental anguish and those that are not able to handle what they have experienced in war and their own injuries, we recognize really how much has been given and is being given on our behalf. There are those that certainly their names have been removed from the land of the living. No opportunity for living out their desires for life. Parents who've lost their offspring, often grieving for years, and some not recovering from that loss. Wives or husbands who've lost their life mate. Children with no father, and sometimes mother. Certainly, as we mentioned that, we honor those women who have put their lives and their necks on the line, on the battlefront and from the home front, supporting husbands, sons, and fellow countrymen. There's a great legacy for the women of our nation and their courage, their love, and their sacrifice. However, it's a society with a misplaced value that puts the women out there on the battlefront. We don't criticize those that have sacrificed so much. At the same time, a nation that has dads staying at home with the kids while mom's out on the battlefront, there's something wrong about that. But we certainly appreciate the sacrifice that is being given. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Of course, we can't look at that without recognizing the ultimate love that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us and the ultimate sacrifice that was made. That Romans chapter 5, "For when we were yet without strength," verse 6, "Christ died for the ungodly." Verse 8, "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, that verse always sticks in my mind. While we're yet going against the Lord, He died for us. When we have read some of the stories over in Afghanistan and Iraq and some of those places where some of those when you're giving your lives on their behalf and they hate you, you wonder, what are we there for? Certainly there were those that have expressed great appreciation for what has been done, but our Lord Jesus Christ, while we were yet sinners, going against him, yet he died for us. He did it with full knowledge. It wasn't like, of course, you put yourself in harm's way. You're willing to go, and you hope that you won't have to lose your life. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that his life would be taken. The prophecy in Isaiah 53, where out of the land of the living he was cut off. He was cut off out of the land of the living, there in verse 8. The prophecy of Christ, his own purpose. He said before he went to the cross, when he was there in the garden, his soul was troubled. You remember his saying, "Shall I ask the Father to save me from this hour? But for this cause I came." It was in his own purpose, that he came, and he came on our behalf. He made that determination that he would do it. I think we've talked about when he set his face to go to Jerusalem, it was because there was that was ahead of him. He submitted, "Not my will, but thine be done," he said there before going to the cross. He told his disciples, "No man is going to take my life from me, but I will lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up." John 10, 18. The suffering that our Lord Jesus Christ went through. Yes, there was the rebuke, there was the shame, there was the beating, and there was the cross. But the suffering for sin, when our sin was put upon him, we think of the innocence of our Lord Jesus Christ and he who without sin, when it all was put upon him and the Father had to turn his back on his very own son, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In all of eternity there had never been any turning but complete fellowship within the Godhead. But there, he was willing to take it. He took your sin. He took your vile temper. He took your dirty mind. He took your lies and your rebellion and your pride to be separated from the Father. And what did he buy for us? What was the freedom he bought for us? That infinite reconciliation. Romans 5, 9, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And verse 11 of John 5, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Oh, what we have received as a result of our Lord Jesus Christ giving his life for us. What a marvelous gift that has been given to us. Freedom from the bondage of our sin. Freedom from the bondage, the punishment, the eternal damnation, to be saved. I think of the hymn that when we sing it, saved by the blood of the Lamb. What a blessed thing to be saved, saved from that damnation, that infinite reconciliation. The Lord Jesus laid down his life on our behalf. A gift of eternal life that's available to all. We read there in those verses in Romans from 12 to 21 how that by one man sin entered into the world, and by one man, by Jesus Christ, we can be saved from wrath to come. The scripture lets us know that when that is applied, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, when you repented of your sin, then it was worth it to him. Isaiah 53. Remember those words in Isaiah 53? Isaiah 53, and let me read verses 10 and 11. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You know, when we cast aside the atonement of the Lord, when we refuse his love and that ultimate supreme sacrifice, then of what value was his sacrifice to us? Then it was of no value at all. But when you trusted Christ, he says, it was worth it. I'm satisfied. You know, when we throw our freedoms away that have been purchased by the blood of our fellow men, of what value was their great sacrifice? Sometimes, you know, even as we see all that's going on in the present wars that we've been involved in Iraq and Afghanistan, and you see once we've left and you see things just coming back at us, and you wonder, of what value? It's a great blessing when we can see ones going on and living in peace when ones have given their lives. Certainly, as we look at that and we think of when there are those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, reject that great sacrifice that they have made, that Christ has made, then of what value has it been? As we think of those things, I'd just like us to stop and consider it together and remember that freedom from the tyranny of men is a very precious thing. Freedom from the tyranny of men is a very precious thing. How much do we really appreciate the price that our fellow man has paid to keep us from that tyranny? This weekend, we seek to remember them. We want to honor the sacrifice that they've made for us. We want to thank God for them. Thank God for those that have laid down their lives on our behalf. If you have time, it might be worthwhile to drive through the Bloomfield Cemetery and just see all of the little American flags, or maybe another cemetery, the one in Chesterville, the one closer to where you live, or wherever. Yes, freedom from the tyranny of men is a very precious thing. We've not had to live under much tyranny in our nation. We're greatly blessed. We see some of those freedoms being eroded away, and we see men taking control where they ought not. We begin to see a little bit of what tyranny is and what has been paid for us. Oh, that we not lose it. But you know, freedom from the tyranny of sin is a very precious thing. We thank God for his great love and sacrifice for us. He paid the price for our sin. He purchased a freedom that is far greater than any national freedom that we can ever enjoy. And so we call out to men, don't renounce him, but accept him. Bow to him. His is the kingdom of glory. Oh, that we might participate in that. And then I think it's important that we pray. We pray for men and women presently in our armed forces who are putting their lives on the line for us. We often pray, Lord, protect our armed forces. Protect our our sons and our daughters. Protect them physically as they seek to go where they are told to stand for the freedoms of people. Pray for their souls. Pray for their souls. We need to pray that they'll be prepared for death. As we said, there are few that expect to die. There are many that would say, I'm willing to die. But you know, it's even like, you know, for us and for men, we know that death is coming, don't we? It's appointed unto man once to die. We know it's coming, but we always think it's going to be later on. And so we don't prepare. Men don't prepare for judgment. They don't prepare to stand before God. And how sad it is when lives are taken. One of the blessed things of us announcing Mrs. Potter's death to you is to know that she knew the Lord. She loved the Lord. She served the Lord. And sought to be used of the Lord, so we know that she has an eternal freedom now, and being with the Lord and being able to be with Him. But oh, how we think of many that, and in our armed forces, to pray for them for their salvation. Pray that they may hear and understand and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've read accounts of chaplains that have had tremendous opportunities in these recent wars that we have been in. Tremendous opportunities to talk to ones about Jesus Christ, to lead them to the Lord, to help them to understand their own personal need, and particularly as they have been faced with much more in grave danger than they had been expecting. And then the chaplains that have been able to minister to them and to give to them the gospel of Christ. There have been some that had heard the gospel in their childhood, but had not responded and have come to Christ as they've been facing danger. But how we need to pray for the chaplains. Pray for the godly Christian chaplains that have a ministry among our military personnel. One of the things that's been very grievous in these last days, very grievous, is the fact that there has been a seek to stop the mouths of godly chaplains. Our chaplains are under ecumenical pressures as never before in the history of our country. They're being given gag orders that you don't publicly pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't speak to ones about the exclusiveness of the message that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation for the soul. How sad it is. You know, the chaplaincy has been something that's been, men were able to be what they are. And so godly Christian chaplains have in the past been able to minister to those that would come to them and present to them the gospel of Jesus Christ and lead them to Christ. And that is still taking place today, but there's being more and more it's being encroached upon. And so as you pray for the chaplains, actually there's a need that we pray for additional chaplains. We need to pray for God to raise up ones to take on that particular ministry. At the same time, men that are thinking of preparing to go when they see what's happening, and am I going to be allowed to minister as I should? And if not, they would maybe consider not going into the chaplaincy. So we need to pray for their freedom of speech. Pray for the clarity of their witness. Pray that God would give them wisdom in the midst of the situations that they're in, and pray that they'll stand. Pray that they'll stand when necessary. And then I believe we must pray for the preservation of the peace that has been purchased for us. We're told in the scriptures we need to pray. Pray that the Lord would give us peace. Pray that we would be able to live peaceably among men. I believe we need to pray for our president. Our president serves as the commander-in-chief over all of our armed forces. As we pray for him, pray that the Lord would make him do right. Pray that the Lord would overshadow him and cause him to serve right as chief over our forces. And I think praying for our forces that they be used for righteous causes. Politics can sometimes be a nasty thing. Politics sometimes gets in the way of doing what is right. Politics should be used for godliness. It should be used to do right. But I think we need to pray that our forces are used for righteous causes. But when we think of putting our men and women in places where they're not doing right, where they're doing something that is not for righteousness. We've always been able to thank God that we have stood for righteousness. We've stood for that is right. And I think we need to continue to pray that our forces aren't used for unrighteous causes, but that they always be used for righteousness, for the help of our mankind. And we need to pray for the righteousness of our nation. Pray for the righteousness of our nation. If we're going to have God's protection of our country, if we're going to have God's protection over us, God has raised up this great nation of ours. God has raised it up. God has given us great blessings. Those hymns that we sing, of our nation that have been sung, that we've even sung and had sung to us here this morning, they're because it's been a great blessing of what God has done. God has raised us up. And we need to recognize that our nation is only great because of the action of God on our behalf. Our nation is only great because of the action of God on our behalf. Jeremiah 18. I think if you want to look at a passage of Scripture that emphasizes that, it would be to go to Jeremiah and read in chapter 18 where the Lord had Jeremiah go down to the potter's house. The Lord had Jeremiah watch and see this man that took this clay and as he was forming this into a particular vessel, and then when there was a mar that was there, he cast it aside to make something different out of it. And the Lord said to Jeremiah, that's what I do with nations. Those nations that have chosen to do right, those nations that have followed me, I build them up and I plant them. But as they turn from me, and they are marred as that mar that comes in that clay that the potter was working at, then I will cast them aside and I will tear them down and I'll choose that there'll be something else than what the original intent was for them. We need to pray. Pray for our nation. Pray that and let others know the importance of what God has in our nation. We need to speak to people around us about our God. Tell them about our Lord. I had an interesting opportunity yesterday. I had to go to tech support on live chat on Verizon to try to get a a phone working for my wife, and the one I was live chatting with said it was a lady. I don't remember what her name was, but in the midst of that, she asked a question. Do you have any plans for Memorial Day? You know, big plans. I was able to come back and just to ask. Just to say how thankful we are for those that have given our lives for us, and that it is of God that we have the nation that we have, and she come back exactly, and then as I shared another scripture with her, you've made my day. You know, here evidently she was a Christian lady, but she says when somebody shares the word with me, some people appreciate it. And they can be encouraged when we speak. Some people might not appreciate it, but they need to hear. They need to know that our God, it is of our God that we are what we are today. And so as I come to this and as we speak here in this message of we have those that have given their lives for us, how we need to appreciate it, and how we need to recognize that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then we look at the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. We weren't his friends. We were his enemies. And yet, God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, he died for us. What we have been provided for us through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is something that ought to be preeminent in our minds continually. And then as we look and look at what God has provided for us in our salvation and the preparation of our souls, and remember that we think that people are dying for us on our behalf. Are they ready to die? Where will they spend eternity? Let us pray. Let us pray continually, recognizing that freedom from the tyranny of sin is very precious. And pray for the men and women presently in the armed forces who are putting their lives on the line for us, and then praying for the preservation of the peace that's been purchased for us, for our president, for our forces and their righteous causes, for a righteousness of our nation. Oh, that our protection of our God would be upon us. We can't save our nation ourselves. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. I think of that verse many times. We recognize that we can't change the world, but we can deal with our own hearts before God, and we can pray before our God. May the Lord take us on this Memorial weekend, remind us of his great love that he has for us and what it has accomplished for us, being very thankful for the nation that God has given to us, thankful for those that give their lives and lay down their lives, and then praying for those presently, that they'll be prepared for death, and that we'll see men and women and children coming to our Lord Jesus Christ, and that our nation would remain a nation that God would bless, and not a nation that God will turn from and turn from to make us something that was not the original intent of our nation. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for what you instruct us about death, for what you tell us about life. Lord, how it is of you and of you alone. And oh Lord, that we would be a people that are prepared for eternity. That we'll be a people that are thankful unto our God continually for what he has done. And then recognizing the sacrifice of those who have laid down their lives for us for our own personal freedoms here. And then, Lord, for your blessing upon us as a nation. We pray these things in thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Take your hand.